I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Virginia Laura. She is with StoryCorps, which is something we're going to tell people about that's going to be here for the next month or so. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So StoryCorps is not only an incredible institution, it's a beautiful silver Airstream trailer audio booth, which is parked on the plaza in Santa Fe right now.
Yes, that's right. We are doing interviews as we speak.
And so you facilitate basically oral histories all around the United States of America. How does it actually work?
Well, since the idea behind StoryCorps is that we strive to record, share, and preserve the stories of our lives, the stories of all people from all backgrounds and beliefs, we do it in a non-traditional way for an oral history project. So instead of us or a StoryCorps facilitator interviewing you, for example, we would invite you to come in with somebody that you know. It's usually a friend or a relative, a coworker, someone that you know and you care about, someone who's part of your life. You would come with them and interview them or have a conversation with them or let them interview you and ask you questions about your life. We call these interviews, but I'm always surprised by how quickly so many of them turn into conversations you could have over coffee or over dinner.
Which means they're getting relaxed and really getting into it.
Yes, absolutely. And people sometimes have a clear idea of what they want to talk about and may come with a list of topics or questions. But often people improvise, and the fact that they feel comfortable enough to do that is wonderful, actually. But there's always a trained StoryCorps facilitator with you, even if you are interviewing someone else. And the role of the facilitator is to basically take care of all the equipment and keep track of time for you, make sure that both of you are as comfortable as possible and can have the best experience ever. And some people need a little bit more guidance or encouragement, and other people seem to be ready to go from the moment they step foot in the Airstream.
And so if somebody needs more guidance and encouragement, the facilitator can tell them, for example, why don't you ask this or that? Or
yeah, the facilitator usually will talk to you a little bit before the recording process and kind of find out from you what it is that brings you to the trailer. What motivated you to come here today? And sometimes people come in, they want to remember a particular period of their lives, or they want to honor someone else by sitting them down and asking them questions. Or they may want to record something for posterity so that maybe their children or their great-grandchildren someday will listen to them. And so having had this conversation with your facilitator, they can kind of brainstorm or kind of questions or how to go about the conversation itself. And there's really no right or wrong way of doing it, but
I bet you've seen everything.
Yes. Well, no, I wouldn't say that, but we've heard a lot, yes.
Yeah. Now, you act sometimes in your role in StoryCorps as that facilitator?
Yes.
Now, you started doing that. You were originally from Peru, and then you moved to Miami when you were a teenager, and you started doing this in Miami.
Yeah, that was a big coincidence, yes. So after college and after I started working for StoryCorps, it happened that the first place that we were going to visit as part of StoryCorps' mobile tour that year was going to be my hometown of Miami. And it was interesting because this was January 2010, and so it was my first day on the job, and it's not that I didn't know what I was doing, but it's very hard to anticipate what to expect, even though we've all gone through rigorous training and there's a big manual that tells you what to do. Once people come into the recording booth, you never know who comes in, and you never know what stories they're going to be sharing with you. So yes, Miami was the place where I first started working as a facilitator, and it was very interesting to get to know the city from that angle, especially having grown up there and thinking I knew the city, as I guess we all think we know our hometowns, and maybe some of us do, but it definitely gave me a very different perspective.
What do you mean? In what way? What were some of the surprises?
So as part of the StoryCorps tour, the Airstream that we work out of, we it spends about a month at a time in a different city or place, and it tries to we try always to station it in a place that's easily accessible to as many people in the community as possible, and that means very different things, obviously, depending on where we're going. For example, we're in the plaza here in Santa Fe, but sometimes we're in a big, bustling metropolis, I guess, and you have to find, sometimes the downtown area is the most convenient part, but not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, it's harder, even here, it's harder to park on the plaza than it is at the baking company.
For example, and you have to take care, you know, make sure that we're locating it in a place where it's easily accessible for people who are taking public transportation or if people are walking. So in Miami, we were parked in downtown, which for some reason as a Miami resident, it wasn't a place that I would frequent very much. And I usually don't think of Miami as a place where people walk around very much. But in that particular spot, we did see a lot of people just walking by who would often just stop by the recording booth having no idea what it is that we were doing there, or, you know, asking, just having random conversations. And we often had, the way the a day of recording works is we always ask people to sign up ahead of time and make an appointment in advance. It is a project that's open to the public, but because we can only take in one group at a time, it really is helpful if we can sort of give people a specific date and time to show up. But I remember in Miami, we would often have last-minute cancellations or spots that just opened up suddenly. And because we had some people walking by, we could just invite them to come in. And, you know, rather than talking to them outside the Airstream about their lives, we're just like, come on in, have a seat, and let's talk for a bit. And we'd turn on the recorder, and people would just chat.
And what were some of the things they said or that they were that was surprising to you as a Miami resident?
It was interesting to me to hear people talk about growing up in Miami or coming from a family who had spent of many generations in Miami, and perhaps because I myself had moved to Miami as a teenager and none of my relatives were born there, and I couldn't, it just, and a lot of the people that I know, I mean, being Miami being a city with so many ties to Latin America and other immigrant communities, it somehow stood out to me that there were people that could claim that as a place of origin, and it could go back far back from generations.
Right.
And it made me imagine the city, what the city might have been like, years and years ago. And I guess also because Miami is a relatively new city, that even that seemed somewhat recent.
Right. Compared
to other bigger cities.
Peru, for example.
Yes, and Peru, for example. But also, and for some reason, that was something I never thought about growing up. I guess that additional perspective. And also, I think traveling as part of StoryCorps' mobile tour, working as a facilitator, and having the opportunity and the privilege to meet so many people on a day-to-day basis, just encouraged me to have conversations with people that I normally wouldn't. I think before this, I wouldn't have struck up a random conversation with a stranger that I didn't know. But I definitely did that on that first visit to Miami. And it's something that we do now every day. And now it feels very comfortable and natural.
Yeah. Do you find, we're talking to Virginia Laura of StoryCorps, do you find that the demographics of the city, in other words, all the different groups in the city, tend to get represented when you are there? So you are talking to the bus drivers and the mayors and everybody else?
Yeah, and it definitely is something that we strive to do. A StoryCorps mobile tour visit is planned months in advance, and once the Airstream arrives into town, it is open to the public and anyone can sign up through our 1-800 number, through our website. And for example, here in Santa Fe, we're working with KSFR. And so by going through your website, people know about us and find out about what we're doing here. But then we also do a lot of work with community organizations and other community groups to make sure we are reaching out to a wide range of communities and demographics of a city that may not have heard about StoryCorps before.
Right, and may not be. I mean, many of us who live here don't actually go down walking on the plaza all that much.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you do, a lot of people don't think of themselves as storytellers. And so even if you had heard about what this project is and what it might do, you might need a little push from someone that knows you to get you to come and talk.
Right. Now, do you find that people who come and talk end up having conversations that they wouldn't normally have? Or do you get that kind of feedback?
Sometimes, yes. I mean, sometimes you get people who come in and talk about things and you know because they tell you or they mention it as part of their conversation that these may be topics that they've discussed before. But maybe perhaps this time they're doing it with a little bit more intention, which also changes the dynamic of the conversation itself. But other times people do come in and end up having conversations that I like to think they might not have had otherwise. Who knows? Maybe they would have. And I think those are the conversations that stick with me the most. And you can see when there's that element of when people start talking and then surprise themselves with what they've said.
Right. Now, what happens to these interviews? I mean, everybody gets a CD that they can take home with them for family, posterity, whatever. But on your end, on StoryCorps' end, what happens to these interviews?
So with every participant's permission, we archive a copy of their conversation at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. And it's the first digital archive up there, so their interviews can join our collection. And we have a little under 45,000 interviews so far recorded.
Wow. That's a lot of interviews.
It's a lot.
Are they categorized in some ways?
They are. They are categorized by location, by year in which they were recorded, but also they are searchable by keyword, depending on the topics that people discuss.
Who assigns the keywords?
So the facilitator.
Okay.
I mentioned that there's always a facilitator in the room during the recording.
Right.
And part of what they do is they jot down keywords and phrases of what the conversation was about.
Right. So what are some examples of those?
For example, childhood memories or rites of passage, education,
right,
or hobbies or travel stories.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so some of them can be heard on your website, and that website is storycorps.org, and we'll give all the information at the end of this program. What is going to happen to the Santa Fe interviews?
So here in Santa Fe, as a way of sharing the stories with the community, KSFR is going to be editing small segments of some of the interviews that we'll record, and they will be airing them on the radio too.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite parts about the project itself, is that not only can you come in and, you know, record the story, your story for the future, but just leave it somewhere that's more accessible to people. So hopefully Santa Fecinos will be driving around or walking by, and then they might hear someone they recognize on the radio or hear a story
right
that resonates with them.
Oh, that's so... I mean, it's really cool and it's really important. I have thought often about archives. You've got 45,000 interviews. Then at some point the project is over, or even if it's ongoing, what happens to them? Are they locked in cold storage forever? Do people use them? Because, of course, archives are really only as good as the scholars or others who then mine them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we hope people have access to them, and that's the idea. And one of the things that we do, we create StoryCorps partners with local organizations also to create what we call community archives or local archives, so that not only are stories, you know, safely preserved at the Library of Congress, but also because as of right now, one has to physically go to Washington, D.C. to be able to listen to the collection or access it. But we occasionally partner with local groups, perhaps a local library or a museum, to leave behind a sort of a collection of the stories recorded in one particular community. And that way, they're easily accessible to the people in the town where they were recorded. And people do all sorts of things with it. Our community groups have...
Like what?
Sometimes, for example, people will incorporate them into an exhibit, for example, at a museum, or incorporate them as part of a library collection, and then make them accessible, for example, to schools. There's a lot of relatively new materials on our website about how to use StoryCorps interviews for educational purposes, and we also have a... There should be a section on the website that talks about that, about how educators can incorporate those in the classroom. Or also, there's also what we call our do-it-yourself section of the website where we encourage people to record interviews of their own if you cannot make it out to the Airstream where we're at, or if after having done your recording you want to sort of continue doing this. And those sort of tools, in addition to the archives that we'll leave behind, are things that we hope will remain in a community even after the Airstream itself has moved on to the next stop on the tour.
StoryCorps' Airstream trailer will be here in Santa Fe until February
9th.
February 9th.
Yes.
And so if people want to become part of this, do you ever have whole families trying to get in and do a whole group?
We do. And actually, we can comfortably fit up to 4 people in the Airstream at a time. But when we have larger groups, even 4, I think that's kind of a stretch. Because, you know, 40 minutes seems like a long time, but after once you get started, it can go by pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So if it's a larger group, we might encourage people to kind of pair up and split up and then maybe come in at 2 different times and then actually give yourself a little time to talk. But we do get a lot of people. And it's actually kind of wonderful, because it allows people to give their own perspective on a particular topic.
So if people here in Santa Fe are listening to this broadcast and they want to sign up, how do they do so?
So they can do so by calling our 1-800 number. It's a reservation system. It's 1-800-850-4406.
800-850-4406.
Yes. Or you can also sign up through KSFR's website.
KSFR.org.
Or through our StoryCorps website.
Which is StoryCorps.org. And StoryCorps is spelled StoryCorps.org. And Virginia Laura has been doing it for quite a while now. I guess this is your last stop.
It is, yes. I'm excited, but I'm getting a little bit sad, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're so happy to have had you on the air, and we're excited that StoryCorps will be here, and thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Paso Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine, in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us many Fridays, speaking of the arts. Thank you for getting up on this snowy morning.
I didn't even know it was supposed to snow today.
I didn't either.
Like, all the nerdy weathermen were like, it's going to be windy. That was it. Nobody said anything about having to scrape my windshield or...
I know. Who do these nerds think they are, being nerdy and then being wrong at the same time?
Nerd!
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. So, what is going on this weekend?
I don't know. I'm refreshed. I took 10 days off.
Oh, how wonderful. Did you have a good vacation?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it took like 8 days to finally like relax, and then it was time to go back to work. But it was cool. Took the pups up to Taos and saw some friends and stayed in this old house that was a house built by one of the original Disney animators.
Really?
Yeah, really cool house, and the people that lived there built a bar made out of ice. So we had a hot tub, and we had an ice bar, and it was pretty cool.
What's it? A bar made out of ice?
Like a place where you go to drink, but it was outside, and it was made of ice, so it was like ice chairs and an ice table. And
how long do those last? In the year.
In Taos? Quite a while.
And then you have to remake them every year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was cool.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a vacation. Glad you're back on the radio.
Yeah, I am too. I'm rejuvenated to some extent. But
yeah,
you know, it's like there's a flu going around, so everyone's like laid to waste. It's pretty sad. everywhere you look, there's just people sneezing on other people. It's gross. But.
Well, I have some, speaking of the arts news.
Oh.
It's good.
Okay.
Okay. You've heard about StoryCorps, because we just did that. The legendary Jose Luis Quintana, also known as Changuito, along with Brian De La Fe of Albuquerque, you're going to be giving a master class and drumming presentation. Now, Changuito is a legendary drummer in Cuba. He played with Los Van Van. He's been with them for the entire length of Los Van Van, which is over 40 years. And he started drumming as a child. He played professionally in jazz orchestras when he was 8.
Oh, my gosh.
He volunteered in the Cuban military as a musician when he was 13. And he played with Los Van Van forever. He's the king of Cuban music. He's an amazing soloist. And on Saturday, tomorrow, from 3 to 5, he's going to be giving a master class at the Rail Yard Performance Center here in Santa Fe. If you would like more information, you can call 974-8670. I'm going to do it again, 974-8670. And there will be private classes for people who are interested afterwards if you want. And it would be as if Beverly Sills just dropped into the Rail Yard and was giving a singing class.
Just coming by.
You know, we're just stopping
just
by.
Just dropping in.
Yeah. No, this guy's amazing.
Cool.
So it's a great opportunity for anybody even remotely interested in percussion.
Sweet. Hear that? 8 years old, parents. Are you listening? Parents? Eight years old.
Children, some children can just do stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of doing stuff, Cinderella is one of my favorite stories ever. And let's see, there's a fully staged and costume production of Cinderella, the opera, sort of an opera, staged by adult opera singers and Santa Fe Concert Association's Epic Artists, which are students aged 8, that's 8 parents, to 17. 7 to 8 p.m. tonight. I don't know, I think tonight is opening night. Is it the Scottish Rite Center? Most people know it as the Scottish Rite Temple. It's the big pink church downtown.
The big pink church.
Yeah, that's where they're going to be having the Ode to Haggis next week, by the way. I'll be writing about the music of Robert Burns next week. But there's a great story and a great photo spread today in PASA on page 28. Now, there is no charge for tonight's performance, and there are encores on Saturday and Sunday, January 12th and 13th. I would highly recommend checking it out. It's definitely a family affair. It's going to be pretty cool.
Awesome.
There's dudes as chicks in it. It's awesome.
Oh, really?
Or no, is it chicks as dudes? I think it's dudes as chicks. Anyway, it should be fun. Also, there's a few openings. Speaking of ice, Axel Contemporary, our lovely mobile gallery, is having its ice storage, ice installation by Sherry Ives. There's a reception tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. Look for the mobile gallery's van at the Rail Yard Plaza between the Farmers Market and REI. And you can track the mobile gallery at axelart.com. And they're going to be driving around with ice through February 10th.
Okay.
So maybe you can get some ice bar building tips from Sherry if you go down there. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I just got a note from the control room that our news nerds did mention snow.
Your news nerds did?
Yes, our KSFR news nerds mentioned snow, and they want us to pay closer attention to the hourly weather news nerdcast.
Okay. See, I mean,
point well taken, gentlemen.
It's the mobile phone and me. We're sort of connected at the hip. So,
yeah.
Most of the big weather stations didn't say snow. But
one thing that I've noticed on my lovely mobile phone is that the temperature they say that it is outside
is a lie.
Is very, very incorrect.
Yes.
It's usually like 5 to 10 degrees incorrect.
Yeah. On the colder side or the hotter side?
Lately, it's been saying that it's colder than it is in the afternoon. So I go out and say, is it a good time for dog walking? And the thing says it's 28, and in fact, it's 35.
Right. Yep. Same problem. Same problem here.
These are problems of affluent
people.
They're
first world
problems. These are first world problems. First world problem. My cell phone doesn't tell me the right temperature.
I know. Hey, is there a kitty to talk about today?
There is a kitty to talk about today. Would you like to hear about the kitty?
Kitty.
And we're going to have on Monday, we're going to have Felines and Friends on the air.
Oh, really?
Not the actual felines, but the friends.
Oh, okay. That'd be cool. Little headphones for little cats. That'd be awesome.
They might not
They might not like
they
it
might,
too much.
They might not eat. They might not eat them.
Right.
Okay. The nights are chilly and winter is here. It's time for a new kitty companion who would love to cuddle with you.
There you go.
This week's Felines and Friends featured cat is Deborah. She's playful and sweet and has a short black beautiful coat and black and white coat and golden yellow eyes. If you're interested in adopting her, please call Felines and Friends at 316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com, and you can look at this kitty or any other cats up for adoption at fandfnm.org.
I'm going to start doing a dog of the week really soon. I just have to figure it out.
Oh!
I just have to figure it out, you know, for balance.
Well, you know, if any of the shelters want to give us a dog of the week, I am so open to it.
Totally.
Yeah. Española and Santa Fe or whatever.
Yeah. Abiquiu.
Is there an Abiquiu shelter?
No, but I'm sure there's dogs there.
Well, there's dogs everywhere.
It's New Mexico, darn it. Hey, this is pretty cool. I wrote about this in my column this week, my Soundwaves column. It's the KSFR Music Cafe once again. It's time. Clifford Brown and Max Roach revisited with J.Q. Whitcomb on trumpet and Brian Wingard on sax, Bob Fox on piano, and John Trenacosta on drums. Learned a lot about Clifford Brown and Max Roach over the weekend, just listening and reading and whatnot. And it's going to be a great show. It's at 7 p.m. at the Museum Hill Cafe.
And I just got word it's sold out.
It's sold out. But you know, but, you never
but,
know.
But
you never know.
Yeah.
So they don't hold ticket. They don't hold any tickets at the door.
I don't know.
They should.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a fundraiser for KSFR, which is always a good thing.
That's a good thing indeed.
And it's going to be a great night of jazz. They have awesome food there.
And people have been so generous. People answered our. We wrote a letter saying please help KSFR at the end of the year. And people were so great, and they did. And we just encourage all of our listeners, every single last one, to make a donation every once in a while.
Absolutely.
And when you do, then we stay on the air.
Yeah. Which is important. Because
it is.
If not, then I wouldn't really have anything to do on Friday morning.
Sleeping doesn't count?
No, I've sort of become nocturnal.
Ah.
So I'm sort of tired right now.
Well, I will then let people know that on Monday at 6 o'clock, Elisa Valdez, the best-selling author of The Dirty Girls Social Club, returns with an engrossing memoir titled The Feminist and the Cowboy, An Unlikely Love Story. And I was trying to get her on the air. I don't know if it's going to work by Monday, though. But it's about how falling in love with a sexy cowboy turned her feminist beliefs upside down. And then on Tuesday, I didn't write it. On Tuesday, January 15th at 6 o'clock, local poets Heather Winterer and George Aigla come together for reading their new works, The Two Standards and First Lie, Primera Mentira, respectively. And then on Thursday, the 17th of January at 6 o'clock, Eric Herm, a West Texas cotton farmer, reads from his newest book, Surviving Ourselves, The Evolution of Community, Education, and Agriculture in the 21st Century, which is about the relationship between Mother Nature and the human spirit. And those are all at 6 o'clock. And then on Friday, January 18th at 5 o'clock, is the third annual benefit for the Cimarron Sky Dog Reserve with a screening of Mara Legrand's 30-minute film, Wild Horses in the Winds of Change, and the award-winning photographs, the award-winning photographs of the Sky Dog Equine Photography Contest are on display at Collected Works through March. Oh, this is Friday. We can read this next Friday.
We can write, yeah.
Anyway, and I'm going to be interviewing them, I think, on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, Forbidden Jewish Operas on Wednesday.
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did we talk about this? No, we didn't, did we? Let's see. Tom Franks discusses Nazi suppression of works by Zemlinsky and others. 5:30 p.m. at the Unitarian University Church. That's Wednesday.
Awesome.
And there is a small charge for that. You can find out more by calling 629-1410, extension 109. That sounds like a fun thing, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of... It's always amazing how there are entirely new worlds of knowledge that you didn't even know existed.
I know.
Like that. Forbidden operas.
Even with the interwebs.
Oh. You know what? People, they do keep tickets at the door.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Someone's whispering in your ear, aren't they?
Someone's whispering on my message window from the control room on my computer.
Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. I'm gonna sneak up there and just pop my head in.
Oh, good.
Just to say hi.
Yay.
Are you gonna go?
I have, unfortunately, a long-standing prior engagement.
Oh, look at her.
Well, you tell somebody you're going to join them for dinner, and you can't just say...
You can't just say, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
I've gotten a better offer.
My social schedule is stretched. I'm sorry. I can't make it.
Oh.
What else? Oh, readings and publication party for the Lummox Journal.
Lummox, that's great.
Is on Sunday at 2 p.m. It's featuring New Mexico poets. Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Gerald Peters Gallery. And there's a little piece in Pass on page 12. You can call 984-5757. Now, I think it's happening in the gallery / bookstore over there. If you want any more information, either stop by the gallery bookstore or call that number, 984-5757. I'm pretty sure it's no charge to show
up there.
Also. These are those, we were just talking about this before we went on the air, the lean months.
The lean months, when the pasta tempo is not quite as thick as it sometimes is in the summer.
Well, it's a sort of post-holiday, and, this is our chance to spend more time out in the community instead of, fielding press releases. And so I would encourage anyone with anything...
Whatsoever.
Art, music, dance, performance, art, anything. To go ahead and give us a call at 986-3039. But please email all the information to us at pasa@sfnewmexican.com.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks, ten days to 2 weeks before an event is happening so that we can get it on the schedule.
Excellent.
But even if it's not an event, even if there's just a really cool artist or musician that you think no one's ever heard of that you think
is really good and merits. Yeah, it is. It's a quiet time in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
It is. I mean,
parking downtown is a piece of cake.
Yeah. Parking downtown is a piece of cake. It only takes me 18 minutes to get to work instead of 23. So that's good.
Speaking of nerds,
I time it. but this is what we call the lean times. And we try and stay as busy and get as much of what's happening in the community in as we can. And so please do that. And you can also post stuff on our Facebook page. If you have an event coming up, feel free to go to our Facebook page and like us and put your event up there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Hey, there is an exhibition, Plein Air and More, at La Tienda Exhibit Space in El Dorado. It's 8 artists who have been painting sites all over Santa Fe together for years. So they go out into the open air and paint what they see. And the opening reception is on January 18th. Oh, this is a Friday thing. This is a next week thing, too. Okay, we'll read this next week. But anyway, you've been pre-warned. And we'll talk about it again next week. I'm getting my dates wrong here. There's a lot of things opening next week. Let's find one that's this week. Okay, here's one. Sunday, January 13th at 11 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, Journey Santa Fe presents conversations with newly elected state representatives on the 2013 legislative session with Carl Trujillo and his new Citizens Advisory Group and others. KSFR veteran radio broadcaster David Bacon will be there with them. You can find out more details at JourneySantaFe.com.
Bacon. Sorry. I didn't have breakfast this morning.
That was my New Year's resolution. Eat more fried pork fat.
Eat more fried pork fat. There's tons of opportunities to do that in this town. You can even do it yourself at home.
Really?
Do you cook a lot at home?
I'm not the world's most enthusiastic cook.
Really?
Yeah. I wish I were, because I love to eat and I love good food. But I'm not much of a cook. I will cook if people are coming over. I will cook on Christmas and Thanksgiving or somebody's birthday, and I'll bake cakes and stuff. But, like, daily cooking is not in my repertoire.
It's not in your
arsenal. How about you?
All the time.
Really?
All the time.
I'll wash dishes.
Yeah. We should have a little dinner soon. But we can do that some other time.
But speaking of the arts.
Speaking of the arts, I forgot to mention also a really great show coming up at the Cowgirl on Wednesday at 8 p.m. A great band with New Mexico ties and Stockholm, Sweden ties called Secret Circus is going to be performing. They're like an indie rock alt blues outfit, and it's led by twin brothers. And I'm not even going to dare try and pronounce their last name because it's Swedish. But they started the band in 2008 in Sweden, and they're sort of here now. And it's a little different for the cowgirl. It's not all, you know, it's there's a little more going on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you sing a little or hum a little of more what's going on there?
No, let's just say it's more on the indie rock side of the equation instead of the country rock side of the equation.
Okay.
You know, but there's something about the Swedish that they just love them some American country music.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It gives the feel of wide open spaces and warm, dusty prairies.
I think it's like it was a cultural exchange. They gave us ABBA, and so we gave them Willie Nelson.
I've always been in favor of cultural exchanges.
Yeah.
I think I've already said this, but I think that Germany and Cuba should have a cultural exchange where Germans learn to dance and Cubans learn to have a really good bus system.
I'm not sure if that's a fair exchange, though, really.
I think it is. Who do you think is the winner in that equation?
I don't know.
Yeah, see?
I don't know. That's a tough call. I don't know. I'd rather dance than ride the bus is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but you got to get to work and waiting and having then three go by at the same time and then waiting an hour for the next one.
Well, that's what happens here. I live over by the high school, and like, I drink responsibly and I drive responsibly, so we always take a bus out to a bar if I'm doing something special on the weekend, and the bus will just drive right by you, even though it's that bus's stop. They'll just, that, like, it happens all the time, they'll just drive right by you.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
That's very bad.
And you can wave and do all kinds of stuff. And
oh my goodness.
And they just blaze on past.
Then we should have a cultural exchange with Germany.
That's right.
Yeah. Where they, what do we teach them?
How to brew beer.
All right. No, they know how to brew beer.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. There is a one-woman art opening this Friday, tonight, from 6 to 8 at El Monte Sagrado Resort in Taos with Michelle Chrisman. And she will be doing a demo from 6 to 7 in the evening. And if you would like more information, you can call 575-613-0443. And very beautiful, delicate painting and landscape painting and portrait painting.
Have you heard anything about this really cool instrument that they're going to be playing tonight called the owl?
No.
It's a composition that's created on a string instrument called the owl. This thing is very odd looking. And Jeremy Blyke's quartet for button reeds and strings is also going to be a part of the show. And it's part of the Grasshopper Studios House Concert Chamber Music Series. It's at 7 p.m. at William and Joseph Gallery on Canyon Road. And there's a great story in Paso Tiempo with pictures of the owl, which it doesn't look really anything like an owl. And I haven't heard the instrument yet, but I'm really interested in going to this because it's a very odd-looking machine. And
how does it compare to a theremin?
Well, I mean, a theremin is, this is like, I think a theremin is more kind of a, you know, thing that you sort of move towards. And the owl is something that you actually have to touch.
Ah, like almost every other instrument in the whole world.
Yeah, pretty much. You know.
Like every other instrument in the whole world.
Like pretty much every other instrument in the whole world. I'm sure there are some, you know, multimedia artists that would disagree with us, but...
There is a special screening of Stephen Fry's film Wagner and Me on Sunday the 13th of January at the CCA. And at 3 o'clock there's cookies and coffee. At 3:30 there's a screening. At 5 o'clock there is a talk. And Maestro, the great conductor Bernard Rubinstein, will introduce the film and will moderate the talk session with author, historian, radio commentator Craig Barnes and Rabbi Martin Schwab of Temple Beth Shalom. So that sounds like an event for people who haven't seen Wagner and Me, or maybe even if you already have, see it again.
There's some great films to talk about.
Oh, good.
We have Zero Dark Thirty, which everybody is talking about.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it either.
I want to see it.
But
I don't want to see it. It's got waterboarding in it.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't turn your eyes to the ugly, you know. You got to just take it all in.
You got to take, that's true. I paid for it.
Yeah. Zero Dark Thirty, 3.5 chilies out of 4 by Jonathan Richards in today's Paso Tiempo. not a bad gig. And then this great Any Day Now film with Alan Cumming.
I saw that. I really enjoyed it.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
I reviewed it in today's Pasta. I gave it 4 chilies, actually.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
You gave something 4 chilies?
I know. I couldn't believe it.
It's so 70s, even though it was made just now.
Yeah. Well, it was. I think it sort of made a Santa Fe premiere at the...
Santa Fe Film Festival.
Independent. No.
The Santa Fe Film Festival.
It was the Santa Fe Film Festival. Yes. And now it's back for its regular run at the Screen over there, the College of Santa Fe, or Santa Fe University of Art and Design, I should say. And it's based on true events. It's this gay couple that was trying to gain custody of a boy with Down syndrome in West Hollywood back in the 70s. And it sort of strays away from the serious political machinations, and it's really more of just a family story. But it's really well done. And Alan Cumming is so flexible as an actor.
He's very, very good.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I had the director Travis Fine on the air, I mistakenly said that it opened at the CCA when it was the Screen. So I wanted to apologize for that.
Okay.
I'm very bad.
Yeah.
That was
and
very bad.
You know what's really
interesting? The Screen is fantastic. They're both really good theaters.
You know what's interesting about the screenplay?
What?
It was written by George Arthur Bloom, who used to be a regular writer for the My Little Pony series of television shows. And he wrote it 30 years ago. And it's been, and then it was just, you know, Travis sort of rehashed the screenplay with Mr. Bloom. And Mr. Bloom's son actually is the music supervisor on the film. And, you know, he's done work with Glee and CSI Miami and all these other sort of big whoop-de-doo shows. But there's a lot of backstory about this script, and you can find a lot about it online. Or you can read my darn review in today's Pasta Tiempo.
You can read the darn review.
Darn it. And Chasing Ice continues.
Yes, that's such a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, we had this discussion at work about it, and it was like, it's great if the ice were allowed to tell the story. I mean, the filmmaker does... you know, his work is very honorable, but there's just a lot of him in the film. It kind of gets in the way, but a good film nonetheless.
All right.
Yeah.
And guess what? Speaking of Albuquerque, Lucinda Williams is going to be at the Chemo Theater on Sunday, and Tom Paxton is going to be at the South Broadway Cultural Center on Sunday. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good deal. I think it's a very good deal.
Yep. And for more information, I will find out what the website is. Ampconcerts.org.
Ampconcerts.org.
AMP, yep.
Let's see. What do we got here? You know, nightlife continues. There's a lot of, you know, the regular bands that are playing. We've got, of course, you know, Bill Hearn over at the La Fonda. We've got, what is it? Oh, Wiley Jim. Western Swingabilly over at La Posada on Sunday night. Pianist Doug Montgomery is still with Vanessi.
Yep.
He just had what? He just had like 30 years there or something like ridiculous like that?
Is that right?
I think so.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. He's been there forever and always brings a crowd. Guy's Cabaret at Pronzo Italian Grill.
I was at Pronzo the other day, and I was in the upstairs room where David Geist plays.
Where they call that place Alto.
They call it Alto now, and it was a weekday when David wasn't there, and I had some food. They have a special menu for the upstairs in addition to the downstairs menu and small plates, and it was fabulous.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
We have our spies heading over there.
Yeah, good.
So. Let's see. What else is happening?
And don't forget, Searching for Sugar Man is still at the CCA, and so is the Central Park 5, which I would like to respectfully request that every citizen of the United States go see.
Oh, really?
It's the Ken Burns movie.
Uh-huh.
It's so good.
Is it long?
It's regular long. It's not 3 hour
long.
It's
not Hobbit long?
No.
Hey, what did you think about the Academy Award nominations? Did you have a chance to take a look?
I did. I haven't seen all the films. I do want to go see Silver Linings Playbook now that that's gotten... I missed that when it was here. You know, I thought Daniel Day-Lewis was fabulous in Lincoln, but I didn't think it was the world's best movie, and if it sweeps, I'm going to get sick to my stomach. You know what I hate? I hate soundtracks in movies that tell you what to feel.
Yeah.
You know? Lincoln says some morally profound thing, and the deep violins start to rise. And it's like, shut up. Just let me listen to the dialogue and make my own decisions.
Wow.
How about you?
I don't know. You know, there's quite a few of these films that I didn't see. You know, I saw a lot in the documentary category. Sugar Man should definitely.
There is a film that was nominated in the documentary category called The Gatekeepers, which I just saw at a little non-public screening, and it is one of the best movies I've ever seen in my whole life. It is a bunch of former Israeli intelligence services directors. The Shin Bet is their CIA, and they've got like a half a dozen people who led that organization talking about what the Israeli-Palestinian relationship was like over the several decades of Israel's existence. And it was one of the most profound and interesting and moving and disturbing films I've ever seen.
Really?
And I hope it wins.
Wow.
And the other ones, I mean, there's some really great documentaries in that. I hope they all win. I hope there's a tie.
A four-way tie.
I haven't seen them all, but there's some very good documentaries. I think the documentaries were the strongest part of the Oscars nominations.
I'm inclined to agree, actually. And I never say that.
Really?
Well, I never agree.
What'd you think? What's your favorites this year?
Sugar Man.
Yay.
You know, Lincoln,
no.
He just didn't do it for me.
Didn't do the trick.
What's her name? The little girl. And she's up for Best Actress.
What was the movie?
I can't remember the name of
it. Okay, we'll get that right out here, ladies and gentlemen.
But I don't know. You know, I just sort of feel lackluster about the Academy Awards these days.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, more lackluster about the Academy than the awards, but that's just a personal thing.
You know, it's there are some people who really can't act who have won Best Actor or Actress.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Or, who, I mean, no, they can't act, but they're not very good actors.
Yeah.
Okay, best supporting actor.
Best actress.
Oh,
she's like 8 years old.
Best actress. The Life of Pi?
No.
Beasts of the Southern Wild?
Yes.
I did not care for that movie.
You didn't?
I walked out of it.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
In fact, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. At a certain point in the movie, because, I mean, it was basically about a place that's endangered by climate change, and pretty soon that island will be washed away.
Yeah.
At a certain point in the movie, I thought, let it be washed away. I don't like any of them. I hate them all. They're all evil, stupid drunks, and I'm out of here.
Wow.
And when a movie doesn't, when you can't actually like anybody in the movie enough to care whether their island gets washed away or not.
It's time to get up and walk
away. It's time to go have dinner somewhere. But that's just me. Lots of people liked it.
I would love to read capsule reviews by Mary Charlotte on KSFR's website. That
I try to be nice in real life, but the true opinions occasionally emerge.
They do.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's with us many Fridays, and we always have a wonderful time, and I want to thank you for being with us every Friday, so many Fridays, and for the Pasatiempo for doing such a great job and sending you over here. And we are streaming live on the web. We are podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. We are streaming at ksfr.org, which has a new website, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, check it out. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. You can write me with your comments or questions or listings or anything like that. Please send the listings a few days before the Friday that you want me to read them, as opposed to a few weeks before, because then they get lost. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz and jazz tonight at the Museum Hill Cafe. And Rob DeWalt, have a wonderful weekend, and everybody have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Bring your pets indoors, people.
Yes, hasta la vista.